Blog Talk Radio.
Victoria, she made me do nothing more.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come on in. Amen. So just want to say God bless you all. So happy that you all have tuned in. Good morning, Sandy. How are you? Come on in. Those who are dialed in to Blog Talk Radio, those who are on YouTube, those who are joined us on Facebook Live, I am so indeed glad on this morning. I am the CEO and founder of Hope Victorious, Healing Oppressed People Eternal, and I am just so elated on this morning. This is coffee with me, y'all. Got my cup. My guest, which is my cousin, have her cup. I love it, love it, love your mug. Yes. So we sipping on some coffee and tea. You know this is a relaxed setting, so we just waiting for some more people to come on in. Amen and amen. But we just not going to hold y'all because we're just going to get started. So I just want to introduce my guest. Oh, my God. God is so good. I tell you, I know our parents or my father, my mom is still living. My father and my grandparents and her parents and grandparents is looking down among us on today. Amen. So we bless God for the joy that God has brought before us on this morning. So without further ado, I just want to introduce my guest. I love her. She's a powerful, powerful woman of God, Pastor Frances Mae Davis, and I bless God for her tenacity. I bless God for her zeal, and I just bless God for her. Amen. Or is it Mae Frances, whichever one she wanted to use. But I bless God for my cousin on today because she is a powerful, powerful woman of God, and I bless God for her. So she's going to come in, and hello to everybody that's coming on and to our guests. Hello. So she's going to introduce herself on this morning, give us a brief introduction of all the great things that she is doing in God's kingdom. And I'm going to just let her take it away. But before she come in, I just want to say thank you to everyone who have purchased my book, A Diamond in the Garden. I bless God for you. And now it's in large print, you guys, on Amazon. And if you email me and you request, I have it in Braille, but that's the Braille is not on Amazon, but the large print and the regular print is. But I'm going to be having a book club soon. So just look out for the announcements where it's going to be a closed setting where you all can come in and we can just talk about some things, guys. So I just want to introduce Pastor Mae on today. If you just come on in, Pastor Mae. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone. Praise God for being with all of you this morning. I am so excited to be with my cousin.
Yes!
We are real cousins.
Yes, we are.
Her grandparents were my aunt and uncle.
Uh-huh.
Her grandfather was my mother's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really, really cousins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, the Lord is doing amazing things.
Yes.
In both our lives.
Yes.
So they could be looking down and like, mm-hmm. What are y'all doing? Like, what are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's possible for them to look over the boundary in glory,
mm-hmm.
and see both of us. They would be so proud. Her dad was my cousin. So I'm grateful that we're all family. But my name is Pastor Mae Davis, aka Frances. My husband and I pastor together in urban West Philadelphia. I'm a member of Church's Greater Works Christian Ministry. And we will be celebrating our 10th church and pastoral anniversary next month, as well as my husband's 70th birthday.
Yes!
Yes,
he is, and don't look the day of it.
We have a marriage ministry called Evenly Yoked Marriage, a school of marriage ministry. You know, people never think about you go to school for everything else, but that's not everything. I'm going to school for marriage.
Yes, yes.
And so we do have classes, marital classes. We do it individually, and we do it as a group sometimes.
Okay.
As well as to have a ministry for women called Sisters in the Pulpit. And what that is, God gave me that vision a couple of years. This will be a second year, going on the second year. And God gave me that that ministry or that vision to include women who were in ministry. But then I heard him say, you know, women in ministry is not just a pulpit ministry. You have women who sit at their kitchen table and minister to their children and grandchildren. They minister on the job. They sit at their desk and they're ministering to their coworkers. They stand on the corner. If you're like me, when I was going to work on the subway in Philadelphia, the Lord would speak to me to speak to someone and give them a prophetic word. I'm like, I'm on my way to work. I ain't talking to nobody. But I had to release whatever it is, and he had, you know, had said to me at that particular time. So women who are in ministry, sisters in the pulpit, are not women who are just in the pulpit, because I do believe that your ministry is not just a pulpit ministry, but we have been commissioned according to the word of God to go you there for. He did not say go you there for only in the pulpit.
Yes, right.
Okay. Jesus had a walk-in ministry, an outside ministry. All of his disciples had an outdoor ministry. Of course, they were in the upper room with the power of the Holy Ghost, according to chapter 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the people heard, you know, he had to come outside and preach it to the people here.
Yes.
Through the window on the inside. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Bible said 3,000 souls were saved.
Yes, yes.
And preached. So Sisters in the Pulpit is a ministry to showcase your ministry in places that you may not be able to, you know, other people may not see your ministry. They want to call upon you to minister. They see your vision. They see the anointing on your life, and they want you to come and minister, you know, at their church or in their women's ministry. It just gives other women an opportunity who are in business to also showcase their business, to showcase their preaching, their singing. You know, whatever God has anointed you to do, that's a place that they have an opportunity. You know, I allow them to put their flyers for the ministries on there, anything that they're doing in ministry. So I do check their pages with people when the sisters do come on, and I look at their pages before I approve them, because I want to see something that relates to Jesus.
Okay.
If I don't see anything related to Jesus, I'm not looking at just numbers, although I thank God for it growing. I think it's at 239 now.
Amen.
But I want growth with purpose.
Okay.
Group that, you know, other women have vision. We have women on there that have the ability to license and ordain. You know, sometimes women get stuck, and they don't have anyone to push them to the next level. We are midwives. We are Ruth and Esther. Sisters that are able to do that, teach, preach, and they have ministries in that you may not otherwise get in your own church, in your own ministry. So I have that. Then I have what you call Solomon's Chamber.
Wow.
And, you know, Solomon's Chamber is strictly for married wives, and it is dealing with intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of women are having issues. I believe that when there are issues in the bedroom, when you got other stuff going on, and you got issues in the bedroom, that's a opening door
mm-hmm.
for the enemy to come in and sever marriages.
Okay.
I have classes on that. I had a class that's coming up in February, right before
mm-hmm.
Valentine's, trying to get women in the mood and, you know, get them conscious and, you know, get them to understand it's, you know, not just about sex. It's about intimacy. It's about knowing your body. It's about knowing
mm-hmm.
your heart, being able to reintroduce the intimacy back into your marriage, especially if you've been married as long as I have,
mm-hmm.
8 years. My husband is 70, and I'm
68,
going on 69. People think that when you get to that age, it's over.
Okay.
No, by no means it's over. It may not be as frequent, you know,
uh-huh.
but
yeah.
it's not over. You know?
Yep, that's right. So, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do that too.
Amen. Amen.
Grandchildren, sons and daughters, and
yeah.
Sisters and brothers
and
Lord. I guess that's
a Well, God bless you.
Right,
I know that is right. Oh, amen and amen. Chris, you got a lot of stuff going on. I know my eye star is, like, very happy right now. So she was like, oh, my God, you got to get Francis on. You got to get Francis on. So God bless you with everything that you are doing in the kingdom. Amen. So today, welcome everyone who is coming on. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about pushing through. Push through. When I think about just pushing through our situations, pushing through different things in life, just pushing through every day just to get up out of the bed, just pushing through. So we're coming from Nehemiah talking about his story, his tenacity, his zeal, his encouragement, his strength that he actually pushed through. But what we really want to focus on today is that being in the place where people may not feel like you are enough, being in a place where people feel like you don't have enough credentials to be where you're at. But look how God used Nehemiah. Did he care about what credentials and resources he did not have and what was lacking? Because ain't no nothing lacking when it comes between you and the Lord. Nothing is lacking with God. He will provide the resources. And I just wanted to read like a portion of scripture. I know I may sound a little choppy on the day, and my apologies, you guys. But I'm coming from Nehemiah 2, and I'm going to begin with the second verse, and it says, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my fathers, the sepulchre, lies waste, and the gate thereof is consumed with fire? I'm going to just take a pause right there. Little story about Nehemiah being a cupbearer to the king of Xerxes. What I love about this story is that he had so much passion in those who had was able to, in chapter 1, it talks about some of his fellow men knowing who he was, just came up to him and said, hey, you know, the gate was burned down of the temple that, well, first the temple was burned down in Jerusalem, but Zerubbabel went and fixed that. Amen. So it wasn't his lane to fix the gate. So years later, God called Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around the temple. And when he seen the fellow men in chapter 1, you know, they said, you know, how they was just so disheartened because the wall is actually burned down and was never rebuilt. So God put a deep passion within Nehemiah to get the job done. But he had to push through some things, y'all, because first of all, he was a cupbearer by the king. He wasn't a builder. But let me tell you, you don't know what God has placed in you. You don't know the resources God has given to you. And sometimes we let our age, we let we feel like we inadequate for the job. We let all those insecurities sometimes cripple us and where we handicapped and because of fear of stepping out. But he has so much courage that even though, and you know, you ain't going standing beside no king, and you know that for sure, Pastor, standing beside a king, and he ain't worshiping the same God you worship, and you talking about you going, you got a heart to go to rebuild the wall. And he probably said, no, you better make sure ain't nobody trying to poison me in my cup. And you worshiping, so your focus is off. So that's why he said he was so afraid when the king asked him. But you want to comment, sis?
Well, one of the things that I realized about Nehemiah, any vision that you have, God will give you provisions for it.
Yeah.
You know, he had the vision to rebuild the wall. He had found favor with the king.
Yeah.
God will give you favor in the most unusual and with the most unusual.
Yes.
Things that you would never think. Are watching you. You don't even think that they're watching. You're being faithful in a few things, which is what God has required us to do. And you're being faithful, and all of a sudden, you know, they can discern something going on. You know, he's walking around. You know, he could see that something was going on with him. His confidence had changed.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the king's cupbearer, listen, I don't need you to be, your confidence to change. You got to change my mind. Right?
Yes. Get your focus back. Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, when you hear the story of Nehemiah and hear the success.
Yeah.
Of Nehemiah, it makes me believe that I can run through walls.
Yes.
You know, I know that I'm unstoppable. You may not have all the credentials.
Yes.
You know that people feel like you need to have. You know, you may not have all the degrees. And,
yes.
You know, it's awesome if you have that. When you have all those things, you're worthy of whatever it is.
Yeah.
That you want because of your degree. But it does not stop what God's plan is for
sure
you.
Sure does it.
You're going to make it with or without it.
Some,
they're going to need that. And, you know, God is going to make room even for them. But God will make room for those of us who don't have the degree.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't have any college experience, but I did. But that did. You know, it did not stop me from writing a book. It did not stop me from writing a play.
Amen.
That was real successful. My first time, you know, and it was successful. You know, what he did for Nehemiah, giving Nehemiah favor, it will be, it's the same thing for us. And he did give him the provisions that
he did
from the king. So you don't need money all the time. You need
favor. Yes. How about that? Favor. Do you hear me?
Favor. And you can get the money.
Yes.
To treat people right.
Yes.
You know, even if they don't treat you right, you know, the Bible tells us love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
Love
yes.
To people, show them love. And sometimes that turns that thing around, and then you're in need, and they don't really want to
know
what you need.
Okay? Yes. Woo. Let me tell you what. How about I was sitting here before you just said show up, right? Girl, how about I'm sitting here like, oh, my God, God just dropped in my spirit, show up. Oh, my God. When I tell you, listeners, let me tell you, all those who on YouTube, who dialed in a Blog Talk Radio, those who on Facebook Live, just show up. You hear me? Show up. Push past that. Push past all your fears and your doubts. Show up. I have something that was a post that sometimes I post on my page. I don't know who the author is of the poem, but he says something like, "Don't get up, get dressed, and don't give up," or something like that. But when I tell you, if you just show up, and how many times you feel like giving up, even when Nehemiah's countenance was so sad, he still knew that it was a work on the inside of him, that God has given him a passion to do that. He said, you know what? The king may slay me, but the only thing I can do is just go before him. But see, he didn't even know that the king was even going to be able to discern that. But let me tell you, God will open up anybody's eyes. When he wants you to get the job done, when he wants you to get that work done, he will open up anybody's eyes. Amen. So he opened up the king's eyes just so he could pay attention to Nehemiah to see what was going on. But what I love about, like, favor is that, whew, talking about favor, ooh, I just feel like praise coming on because, whew, look, when I come on Tuesday, I'll be coming to you because from being so transparent, my mama always said, you got to tell everything. Yeah. I'll be so transparent because I just want people to come from that broken place, people to be delivered, people to be restored, people to show up even when you don't feel like showing up. Just show up. God got the rest. And Nehemiah showed up to his job the next day. Oh, yeah. He was standing by the king, and his job was to sip the wine to make sure that the king wasn't poisoned. But, of course, his mind is other places. But look at God. God didn't allow King Xerxes to come at him to destroy him. No. Instead, he gave him everything that he needed for his journey and asked him how long you're going to be gone. When I tell you nothing but God, you got to read the whole story in Nehemiah chapter 2. Begin with the first chapter. Begin with and then go to the second chapter. But I am just so blessed on today because I know what it feels like to be in that place where God, you gave me this big task. I'm not even feeling this, God. I'm depressed right now because I'm thinking about other things. But when you do the work of the Lord, when you put everything else behind you, put God's work before you, it's nothing that God won't do for you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Even when you don't feel like, excuse me, getting up, getting dressed, showing up, just show up and let God do it. Let me tell you, there was a time when I was so depressed. When I got to church, I looked like it too, but I can't know because I was there to get my deliverance. I had on, it was Communion Sunday. I had on, we're supposed to wear white. I had on different colored creams. I didn't even have on white. I had on oatmeal skirt. Then I had a tote. Her shirt, my boots was tan. I had on three different type of cream colors that I can't know because I know it was about getting to that altar. Yes, I could have prayed in my home, but no, I wanted to be around the saints. Woo, Jesus. And I didn't care what nobody had to say, but just showing up. Oh, God, girl. Mm-hmm. Is anybody in the comments that say anything? Can you see that, Francis?
I see, I say good morning, ladies.
Okay.
Good morning,
amen.
No one asked questions yet for what I can say, but everybody is saying good morning,
yes, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
One of the things also about that story is the fact that your gift makes room for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One of the things that even with, you know, as I'm learning the technology, as you know, they said old people need to leave. You know, people just show up, and I believe that's what was going on with Nehemiah. He needed wood.
Yes.
You know,
how about that?
The worker showed up.
That's
the kind of guy that we.
Yes.
But, when he has a plan for your life, it may not look like it's gonna happen. It may take years.
Yes.
You will let you live long enough that the mission, the vision, and the plan of God is going to be manifested in your life. I don't care if you're 90. Okay. Everybody laughed at me because I thought, I'm going to live to 120. Okay. And they said, 120. I said, only way I live to 120 is Jesus ain't come back. Okay. But if he come back, I'm out of here. I'm taking my flight with Jesus. Okay.
When I tell you.
I want to live to 120. I said, I don't want y'all to die either. I want y'all to live long enough to live to 120. So y'all can't die until I get there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm grateful to the Lord. Do not give up your vision. vision and
yes.
dream because it hasn't happened
yes.
when you wanted it to,
mm-hmm.
when you thought it was going to. Don't
yes.
get upset with God because you thought it was going to happen in 10 years
mm-hmm.
or 15 years or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I didn't get my first book published, so I had my first book published 2017,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's a few years ago. I'm gonna be 69 next year. This
mm-hmm.
is my second book. It
uh-huh.
took me all this time,
mm-hmm.
okay, to get another book actually published different from the first one, because a lot of people don't know about the first book because
mm-hmm.
it didn't have the same type of exposure. Now I'm at 68, and I'm getting more exposure with this book than I did the first one.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that the first one was a time of the season, but the way God moved it, and then there were people that I did not know
mm-hmm.
when I wrote that first book that I know now.
Wow.
So God had to move those people and I both to get into a position that I would know them and they would know me,
mm-hmm.
and that the things that I need, they would have. But I had to get to this
mm-hmm.
point. I didn't know them back then.
Okay. Okay?
So I had to get to where they were, and they had to get to where I am, that God will bring us together and make what needed to be needs to be happening for me
mm-hmm.
in relation to the book
yes.
to happen. God
mm-hmm.
has an appointed time for everybody.
He does.
You know?
He really does. And that's good stuff right there about not giving up on your dreams. Because oftentimes we think about how old we are and, oh, my God, what are people going to say? It's not about people. It's about you. It's all about you and the work that you have done. And sometimes, and I'm glad that you did share that, but, child, you don't look a day of it. Mm, you are fierce, always popping.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So what I'm telling you is,
faceless.
Isn't that awesome?
This is all me.
I know that's right. I know that is right. Yes. Yeah. And it's so awesome because, and I'm glad that you did share that, because we think of our age sometimes and we keep us from moving forward. But, you know, my mama is 81 years old and she's still moving and thriving. When I be like, I know you just didn't go out today. Me and my sisters be at it all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm just saying to you all that don't allow age to be a factor. God will give you everything you need. If you remove people and dismiss yourself from them, you will be okay. Because sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We beat our own selves up. You're too old. You should have did that in your 20s. You should have did it in your 30s. You should have did it 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Okay, you beat yourself up in your 60s. Oh, you should have did that. No. That, don't worry about that. That was for then. This is now, so let me move forward what God is putting me to do now. And Nehemiah had so many gifts and talents in him that I'm quite sure he didn't even know. But because he was obedient to God, because when God birthed it in him, he carried the mission out. And how often do we carry things out when God say, move, go do it? Because we don't know. We don't know where to go sometimes when God say, move and do it. And then sometimes we can get so discouraged when we want things to happen now. And we thought things should have happened for us 5 years ago, and it didn't. But it's when God says it's going to happen. Because God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. He ain't going to lie to you. So whatever he says shall come to pass. But it's in God's time. But try not to get so discouraged. So try not to get so disheartened because you see everybody else thriving. Because see, what's for them is for them, and what's for you is for you. So focus on what God has given to you to do. And don't worry about nobody else. Remove those voices from your mind. Just dismiss them and do what God calls you to do. I'm going to read verse 4, and it says, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Another thing, mm-hmm. too, is that, you know, for us,
mm-hmm.
as saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, by that time,
mm-hmm.
speaking in tongues, rolling in the floor. We don't know how to wait.
Yeah.
We have to learn. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and
uh-huh.
be strength in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Wait, I say, upon
mm-hmm.
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling you to wait because it might take a little bit of time for you to get to the place that I call there
mm-hmm.
for the manifestation of what God's plan
mm-hmm.
and purpose is for your life or for your vision to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give up. The moment that you give up, you're allowing the enemy to delay number one, he distracts you because he takes your eyes off of focus of what the plan of God is for your life and takes the focus off your vision. And start putting on my on yourself and saying, woe is me. I don't have anybody to help. Well, keep, you know, focus on Jesus. Stay focused on him. And you won't have to worry about all the things that's going on around you. That was one of the Peter's things that could have caused him to drown. You know, he started walking in faith. He kept his focus. And then, you know, he started looking around and seeing that, oh, my God, I'm walking on water. You know, you can walk on water, you know, as long as you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Not what's going on around you. So people lose focus and start looking at their circumstances and looking at the things that people have spoken. People have spoken negative seeds into many of us. And we buy into it. You know, one of the things I learned very early as a little girl, when I was told that I couldn't. Oh my goodness, that made me have. They gave me more tenacity.
Yes,
I will. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad. But the point that I'm trying to make is the fact that when I was told that I could, that is where I had the most strength to say, oh, no, I can do this. Okay, I figured out. I'm okay, and I feel like that since a child, you know, because that's what I was told. You can't do this. You're not going to do this. You're not going to graduate correct. You know.
Okay.
I had a lot of negative things.
Okay.
That was spoken to me. That I had to rip up the roots of what was spoken.
Say it now. Yes. So say
we
that.
We have to have a tenacity.
Yes.
To rip up roots.
Yes.
That have been spoken to us
yes.
for years that said what we can't do, what we will not be, and what we cannot be.
Yeah.
And we have to rip those roots out because what happens is it'll look like that those roots are flourishing because it looks like nothing has happened.
Yeah.
So it looks like those seeds are growing, but they're only growing because we had to learn how to pluck it up out the garden.
Get ready up in a few minutes, but I can go a little longer on Facebook. This is so good. But what I wanted to say is that, and Angela's right, because timing is everything, but I wanted to also say, go back to revisit that, because sometimes our fear, what would keep us bound and think that we can't do certain things is because those seeds that were sown in our lives when we were younger, you know, or maybe something tried to be sown in your life just yesterday. Somebody, you know, tried to dummy down, you know, who you are. And we hold on to those things, and that causes us to be handicapped and not get out and do what God calls us to do because we feel like, you know, we start believing those words. That saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who made that up, but what? When I tell you, I'm like, what? Yeah, so what I'm saying is that it's so crazy, but what Pastor did, what Pastor May did is that, you know, all those seeds that were sown, she overturned them, and, like, she pulled those weeds up. No, I'm not who y'all say I am. I'm a king's kid. I'm who God says that I am, and I know greater is in me. Amen. So, and that's what she did. Greater is he within me than he that's within the world. So she overturned all those seeds. But how many of us have allowed people, negative energy, negative words to play a part in our lives that keep us bound, you know, but we allow them to. So don't listen to those folk who tear you down. I don't care if it's your mother, father, your relatives, or they throw stones at you. I'm talking about something on past podcast before. Why are you carrying somebody else's stone? Those stones that they threw at you and expect you to carry them and tell them that you're not going to amount to anything and degrade you? No, the devil is a liar. You throw those stones back in the pit of hell. You throw them things back into the pit of hell where they belong. And don't carry nobody else's stones, labeling you to who they think that you are. No, you created in God's image. You are king, and that's what you got to carry. I wanted to say something that's a little funny, but I know my sister, Penny and Nikki, is really serious about this, but they always say sometimes we be out and they look at me and say, oh, you preaching to yourself, you're encouraging yourself. I am. Yeah. Because look, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You got to keep encouraging yourself because you don't even know on a constant, on a daily sometimes what we face with, you know, so they were cracking little jokes and saying, you preaching to yourself? You encouraging yourself right now? I'd be like, yeah, and I don't even know how they see that, but I'd be sitting there talking to my own self, encouraging my own self, because if you don't believe in you, who will? Who will believe in you if you don't?
Oh, my God.
If you don't.
You know, there's life and death and the power of tongue. I see it. Now, that's Angie. Angie Burnett, that's one of my children from way back.
Okay.
My name is your daughter, Angie.
Now, okay.
Angie Angela Burnett somewhere.
Yes. Wait, I know
Reverend
Angie.
From Second Pilgrim Baptist Church, okay?
Okay. Yeah, and I know Beth is saying, Angie, we...
Every once in a while, I hear from her.
Oh.
You were up on this show this morning.
Uh-huh.
Girl, you need to call me.
Yes. You know what? I think that's
we have to have the power that the Lord gave us in our tongue to overturn the things that have been spoken.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's life and death, and we can kill our own dreams.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
By what we say with our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
People don't believe that, but you manifest stuff when you put it. The devil is waiting, lurking. Got his imps lurking, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like the ear hustler,
uh-huh.
You know, trying to ear hustle and see what we going to say, you know, that they could grab a hold to it.
Yes.
And then begin to plant seeds that will cause you to miss what God has for you. I believe there are a lot of visions that have not come to pass that are in the grave.
Yeah.
A lot of dreams that have been deferred and died with the person, you know, because they didn't believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take the right road in order to make sure that their vision came to pass.
Yeah.
They took what somebody else said, you know. I remember when I was working for the insurance company years ago. For a long time, I had worked at the insurance company. And I had began to move to get my insurance license to be able to sell insurance. And then I was saying to someone, and that, see, this is, I said, you plant seeds in the atmosphere, too. Somebody else will grab a hold of it. We sell all this insurance to people, you know, health insurance, life insurance. Somebody needs to have some animal insurance, some dog insurance, you know. So they say, anybody going to buy no dog insurance? I said, people got dogs get sick, cats get sick. You know, I said, just think if they had insurance, health insurance, that they got health insurance and paid for the animals, you know, to get, you know, the treatment that they need.
Yes, they do.
You know, you know, people got animal insurance. There are hospitals. Now, they got urgent care as well. We down here in Delaware. There's a big urgent care, 24-hour urgent care for animals.
Yes.
So, but somebody discouraged that when I said that, and then I didn't move on it. So, you know, I don't know who else heard that. You know, to them taking that idea as well.
Yes.
And now today there's pet insurance.
Yes,
it is. Their pet store.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Girl,
yes.
I had only taken but the other thing too. I was waiting for someone to initiate it for me. I didn't move forward on myself. So it was something I heard and saw, but I didn't act on it. So that's another thing. When God gives you a vision idea, don't stop on it. Although you don't see, you know, how it could possibly be, God is the God of possibility. He is possible. You know, like she said, man, he's a God that does not lie, nor a man that does he repent. And he said it will not bring it forth and establish it.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't stop because you don't have agreement with somebody yet.
Right.
For an appointed time.
But you know, it's never too late.
Later all day, you know, now you got all this stuff for pets and everything, and I'm not a part of it. I don't have even no stock in it, you know.
Well, it's not too late. You can go do that. You can go and put your stock in. It ain't too late. It will come back around again. It will. I had I know that my iStar said I'm sounding kind of choppy. A lot of you are, but I hope that you all can hear me, and then we're going to wrap it up. And I do know Evangelist Burnett. We fell together, or we used to be at the same church. Burnett. What did he need? he began to pray. He said he began to pray. So he didn't run to the southwest corner trying to find God. No, he said God is omnipresent. He stood right there and he prayed to the Lord God. He didn't have to even move from his position. Just saying in his mind, God, you know, answer me, Father. I need your help right now. Before he even answered the king, they said Nehemiah was a praying man. I just love his leadership. I love that. He didn't tell nobody about the move that he was making until God showed him exactly what to do. Then he started delegating the responsibilities. And I love that with him being a leader because he consulted God with everything. Didn't tell his best friend. God gave him the whole plan. Then he delegated, and then they executed the plan. Woo, and guess what? That wall was rebuilt in the time frame that God wanted to be rebuilt. And then his employer gave him some time off and told him, whatever time you need, go. Okay, this job will be here when you get back. See, that's only the favor of God. And he didn't even serve God, King of Xerxes, but Nehemiah did, and because he put God first. I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to close the broadcast. It was years ago when I was like in my early 20s, and my mother's, and I had went and I was in between jobs. And I went on an interview. A matter of fact, if Sandy is on the line, is one of the, my friend Sandy told me about a job they was hiring at one of the hospitals. I went on an interview, and the man said to me, can you work on Sundays? Can you work Saturdays, I think? Or could you work the weekends on Saturdays or Sundays? I said, no. So when I got home, my mom said, girl, you crazy. You don't even have a job, and you're going to tell somebody where you can work. I said, Mom, I believe God. I said, and I can't because, Mom, I got to go to church on Sundays. I have to. At that time, I was really fighting for my life to do the right thing. I was fighting for me, and I know what I needed. So that means I couldn't go out. That means I had to just be dedicated to the Lord, and I was fighting that bad for it. Don't you know that man called me on the phone, that doctor, and said, we're going to hire you? What I tell, because, but he made it seem like in the interview, oh, there's no way. That's one of the requirements. You have to work this job. You have to work the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And I said, I'm not able to work the weekend. And don't you know that man hired me anyway, and I worked from Monday to Friday. And one of the girls in the office found out that she said, oh, you don't have to work the weekends. And I said, no. Well, he asked me to, and I said, I did, but I missed church. I missed this or that. And I didn't brag on it because that's not what I was supposed to do. I just kept it to myself. Like my aunt saw, I said, don't share everything. I didn't even share why I didn't tell him. I didn't say anything. I just listened to her. But when I tell you, he hired me anyway. So when you put God first, God will make sure everything else is okay. Amen. So my broadcast, go ahead.
The fact that, you know, having a continued open communication with God, even though you were getting disappointed about what you had to do in order to get the job to work on your Sunday that you have been dedicated to all these years, you know, again, being able to sow seeds in prayer early,
in everything.
You know you need a job.
There's
one that shows up.
Yeah.
You got to work on Sundays. I don't want to work on Sundays. I don't want to work on
Sundays.
I've dedicated to you all these years. But you need the job.
Yeah, but you need the job. Yeah.
You got two options. Take the job and wait for God to make the change or believe God for a job that will give you Sundays off.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Like, this was my prayer. I, as I was was completing a book, I said, Lord, I want to be number one.
Yes.
I want my book to be number one.
Yes.
You know, and I said, I believe that you can put it at the top. This was my prayer. Every time I got ready to write, you know, work on the book or do anything with the book, I prayed that it would be number one.
Yes, amen.
And the Lord answered.
God is
prayer.
Faithful, honey. Yes, yes, he is.
He's faithful.
Yes. Yes. And what is the name of it? Yes. Oh, Angie, put it up, the book up.
She said, okay, congratulations to the both of you on your new
book. Thank you, Angie. Amen. And what's the name of your book again, cousin? The name of your book?
It's called Evil to Make This.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it helped me for him because the word either Knigdu is a Hebrew word translated into a help meet for him.
Mm.
And it's a helpful for wives, you know, and for men. I have suggested that some men read it too.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a section in there for single women who are still waiting. This and the title is God Has Not Forgotten You.
Yes.
So that the men, you know, God has not forgotten you. Don't give up. I don't care if you're 60 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I have said before, what is for you is for you. God has someone for you. It may have taken you all that time, 60 or 70 years, to get your act together. To send the Boaz to get you.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And so I talk about some things, you know, that single women struggle with in their lady in waiting stage, you know. And also for the women who are married to really establish what God created us to be before we said I do to our husbands, before we had any children, God had a plan for women. In the very beginning in chapter 1, he said let them have authority over the earth and do and replenish and all that. Before chapter 2 even appeared, and then in chapter 2, he said man should not be alone. So that meant he needed help. So God made him to help me.
Amen.
It did not mean that she was subordinate to him. It does not mean that she was his slave. It did not mean that she was supposed to walk behind him and be quiet. It meant that God had given them both authority and they were to do what I call the earth work together. And so a lot of times it's twisted. They think that, you know, because God had made that sentence that man was now going to be the head of woman, it did not take anything away from us. You know, being a wife, being a woman first, and then if you had the opportunity or have the opportunity to be a wife, is that to me was icing on the cake when it comes for both the man and the woman. That God would establish. That's the first ministry that God put in the garden.
Amen.
So a lot of people don't understand. That's why we talk about having a school of marriage ministry. People go to counseling, they go to therapy, and they do not really understand the real ramifications of what marriage entails. And sometimes you get in it and then you get out of it, you know, because nobody knew the whole story about, you know, what they were meant to be to each other from the beginning. And so, you know, the book kind of helps women to get a better understanding of, number one, who they are as a woman first.
Yes.
And then what kind of called them if they are fortunate enough to be married. Or even if they were married and they, it's a section talking about if you want to do it again. You know, let's do it right the second time. You know.
Amen.
My friends have done it once, twice, three times. You know, and they're still not married. They've been divorced. So I talk about the fact that, you know, who are you attracting? You had George 1, then you go back and get George 2, then you go back and get George 3. You're attracting the same type of man.
Yeah.
You haven't figured out how to, you know, see the difference. You know? So that's some of the stuff that the book
talks about. That's some of the things in my book, too, when I talk about that, too, attracting those same light, and you don't even know you are attracting the same light period.
Right.
Well, that almost happened to me after maybe I think maybe almost 10 years after my divorce, I decided to date. And I'm like, ho, ho, ho. Oh, I discern that spirit. We nipping that. We done with this. God, thank you for the discernment. I'm like, yo, what is what? We ain't going down that road. What? But I thank God that discernment kicked in. Like, no, this is too familiar. And I said, so I do understand the woman who attracts the same type of person. You know what I'm saying? Same type of spirit, because I'm like, no, y'all have similar characteristics, and I'm not putting up with that. So I'm like into that quickly. Let me tell you, I love myself too much. When I fell back in love with myself, I said, are we not doing this? Nope. But I do understand how you can miss that, because the spirit is so cunning. But I was like, nah, uh-uh. Yeah, so a part of my book is about that too.
Amen,
Reverend Camille's my cousin too. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm serious. I'm like, oh, no. So anyway, we'll be on here. I don't want this broadcast to kick us off. I mean, Blog Talk Radio already ended. But I enjoyed you so much. Oh, my God. This has been so awesome, you guys. So, so awesome. And you got to come back on again. Amen. Amen. My mama's sending me names. She is my tech person. You hear me? Amen. So to my cousin, Reverend Camille, and also who hopped on, I see Donna. Amen. So God bless you, everybody. And we're going to pray out, and I just want to thank God for my guest on today, my cousin, Pastor Frances May Davis. I bless God for her. She is so sharp, y'all. She is so bomb.
What's the name of my book? The name of the book is A Help Meet for Him. Okay. If you go on Amazon, you know, it looks like this.
Maybe they can take a screenshot of it, and then I can
see my picture on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go on there, it's called Help Me to Him, and then it has the Hebrew words at the bottom. But that's what you want to look for. The book looks like this.
And what I'll do is I'll screenshot it and put the link in so you guys could go and get off the Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But I'll put the link in right after I come off this broadcast. I am going to put it in so you can go back and look at the comments and you can get it then. Amen. Unless Evangelist Angela, if she could type it in. But if not, I'll put the link in. Amen. 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 So, yes, yes. So thank you so much for coming on to Hope Victorious.
Yes.
I got a little bit of coffee. Oh, my God. So thank you for joining with coffee with me, you guys. Bless you, God. We lift you up and give you the highest praise, oh God. We thank you for today, and we thank you for every day. We thank you for your word on today, God. We thank you, Father God, for our guests and for those who have joined in on today, Father. We thank you for moving by your spirit, God. God, you are mighty. God, you said in our word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace.
Amen.
Know that God is on your side. Know that he loves you and that he cares for you. You can always DM me on Instagram of Hope Victorious, the number 2. You can email me at HopeVictorious, the number 2, at gmail.com if you want to go over the plan of salvation. And just if you just want to, something you want to say to me, amen. So God bless you all and have a wonderful day. And I hope I didn't miss anybody, but thank you all for dialing in and for being a part of this broadcast. God bless you. And don't forget that I'm going to put the information in the chat. Yeah. Okay. All right. Love you all. God bless you, cousin. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you. What's wrong?
Are you out?
I'm not sure. Let me see.
Okay.